Okay, we're going to begin here in the middle of Hey Amud Bet. The Gemara is posing a question, which is going to lead us through the next couple of dapim, which is Iboiluhu. Gemara wants to understand here what exactly is the issue with Maulivol B'Tchila B'Shabbat. Is one allowed to have Biyah for the first time on Shabbat, which we've already seen in the Braitot. The Braitot already gave us the answer, which said you cannot be Boel B'Tchila B'Shabbat. You should not get married on a Friday. So as Rashi points out over here, either lo shmi elohu hachmat nita leel, they didn't know about the Braita, because had they known about the Braita, they would have had an answer. Inami shmi elohu, or they know about the Braita, umibailu alocha o en alocha. And they're trying to determine if it's alocha like the Braita or not like the Braita, because otherwise the whole discussion is moot, because they already have a psak or a statement in the Braita that says that this is problematic. We've actually had two Braita that say it. So it has to be, the question's either asked in a vacuum, outside of those braitot, or it's asking whether the halacha is like those braitot. And the Gemara frames the question in this way, which is, dam mifkod pokid, o chaburei michbar. How is the dam betulim kept? Is the dam betulim similar to a case where you have a liquid behind some sort of shield, and that all you have to do is open the shield and the liquid is released? Or is it that the dam is somewhat enveloped in the lining of the vaginal canal, and therefore the release of the betulim involves a chabura, involves some sort of wound or injury. So the question is there a melacha involved in taking out the dam betulim? If it's mipvad pokid, seemingly there is nothing wrong over here. We'll see, maybe there is. But chabure michbar, everybody understands why there's a problem over here. Chabure michbar, because you're wounding on Shabbat. The question of what the problem of chaburei michbar on Shabbat is actually machloket. Rashi and Tosafot in Shmona Shvatzim discuss it. Tosafot already raises it again here. What's the problem with wounding someone on Shabbat? Rashi claims the problem is tzoveya. It's a problem that you're coloring, that you are staining. In terms of a bruise or something to that effect, it's very easy to understand that if you're wounded or you cut, then there is a certain amount of discoloration of the skin. And that's the problem over here, is the problem of tzoveya. Tosafot already takes issue with Rashi on a number of levels, one of which is that we see by tzoveya, by animals that don't have a layer of skin that would cause that discoloration. The Tosafot here introduces two other possibilities as to what the problem of chabura is. The first one, he says, is machlish. The wound weakens the individual. And that's the problem, that you're weakening the individual on Shabbat. By the way, the same question comes up with regards to Shechita. What's the Isser of Shechita on Shabbat? So again, Gemara over there said Tzoveya, that you are Tzoveya, the area of the Shechita. The Tosafot first starts with this issue of Machlish, that you weaken the individual. Problem is, a number of cases, and one of which is our case right here. Over here, even if you say that it weakens the individual, you're not interested in that. It right away would become a Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, because you have no interest in weakening the woman over here, and therefore there's no necessity to say that this is a melacha that you're doing for the weakening of the individual, and that would cause a problem in understanding this Gemara. Therefore, Tosafot moves over to another possibility, which is that it's an issue of netilat neshama. It's an issue of killing. Oh, you're not killing the person, you're only wounding the individual. The Rabbeinu Tam has a famous formulation of that, mali netilat neshama me'at, Mali nitilat neshama harbe. There's no difference between killing a person a little bit and a lot. Now he uses it in the framework of, you know, not like we would say, oh, dead is dead, but rather in the case of wounding. That wounding an individual is the beginning of the process of death, and therefore nitilat neshama is the issue at hand over here in terms of both the wounding over here, the shechita by the animal, but it's even nitilat neshama, not that necessarily results in death, but nitilat neshama, which is some sort of weakening of the individual that creates a netilat neshama. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that the problem of wounding an individual is mifarek. Mifarek is that you separate out an object from another object. So here, you're taking the blood out of the body. That wounding is an issue in terms of mifarek. The problem with the Rambam sheet that everybody raises is that the Gemara says in other places that mifarek only applies to a gedulei karka. Mifarek is only a din by things that grow out of the ground, not for other objects. Most of the Nosei Kelim over here argue that in some instances, like for instance, behema and human beings are classified as gedulei karka. Even though not everybody, or not in all places, is that true. In certain instances, we do, or a magdir, the individual's gedulei karka, say they're organic, natural, they sustain themselves off of the ground, and they're as distinct from those things that grow on the mayim. So therefore, our human beings could also be gdulei karka. That's the approach of most of the nosei kelim on the Rambam. Rav Avraham ben Rambam, his son, actually says that that's not the reason that the Rambam gave, but rather that we have mifareg and dash. The av melacha of dash is only done by gdulei karka. A tolada, which is a subcategory under the av, doesn't always have to have the same criterion as the av itself. And therefore, even though dash is something that gdulei karka, mifareik, which is a tolada, does not have that criteria, and therefore it does not have to be gdulei karka. So even though it's a tolada of dash, it doesn't have exactly the same criteria, and therefore mifareik can exist without gdulei karka, and therefore you don't need all these other answers. Even if you're not gdulei karka, you can have an issue of mifareik. Very good. So the Shita Mekubetzit asks your question. It says, according to Rashi, who says the problem here is Tzoveya, Mali dam mifkad pakid, Mali chubure mikhbar. It makes no difference. The end result is Tzoveya. So he says, I don't know what Rashi's saying. The answer that you have to say for Rashi is that the nature of Tzoveya includes two aspects to it. One aspect is the end result, which is Tzviya. The other aspect of it is Tzviya melachet uman or umanut. Tzviya melacha, which is in some way transformative, or in some way involves changing or doing something over here. And therefore, by the case of Dam Michbar Chavir, there you're really making a distinct change or doing something that generates the Tzviya. And then by Dam Mifkad Pakid, you're not really doing anything to generate the Tzviya. It lacks a certain part of Melechet Uman in that sense. And that's why you would separate between Dam Michbar Chavir versus Mifkad Pakid. But Enochanam, the Shita Mekubetzit asks you a question that why isn't it Tzoveya in both instances, and according to Rashi, why is there any difference at all? So those are the general approaches to what the issue of Chabura is on Shabbat. And that's the question of the Gemara over here, Mifkad Pakid, or is it Chaburei Michbar? Now, the Gemara is going to take two approaches of Imtim Tzolomars, which is the first is, Imtim Tzolomar Dam Mifkad Pakid, if you believe that the blood is just held back by some sort of petach, L'damu Tzarich, Vishari. He needs the dam, and therefore it's mutar. If you want the dam, because according to Reinu Tam, he says, Shitzarech lotzi adam shelo yitlach lech pamacheret kishivo, because he gets rid of the dam this time, he won't get dirty, or it won't mess things up the next time that they have biyah. And the Rimi Faresh, the dam utzarech, Shitzarech liotim hi bitula. He needs the dam, because that's exactly what he's searching for, to know whether this woman is a bitula or not. Odim ala petach utzarech vasir. So we have two issues here, which is, in terms of the dam, there's no longer an issue, because all you need to do is get the dam out, and you're just releasing dam that's already existing. It's like opening up a bottle, which has liquid inside of it. The problem you do have, the same problem you have opening up bottles or cans on Shabbat, is the risk of making a petach. You're not allowed to make a petach on Shabbat. So over here, are you creating a petach, and therefore it's a sur. Beim tim salom or ladam utzarich, all he cares about is the dam, and therefore the petach is not relevant over here. Upetach melekati, and therefore the petach happens as a sidebar or automatically as a derivative of getting to the dam. Right, so Rashi notes that you're right, that this is a psikreshe. The Gemara at the end of the sugya today will answer why this is not psikreshe over here. But you are right, there is an issue of psikreshe which the Gemara ignores over here and only raises later in the sugya. So now, the halachic Rabbi Shimon, is there the halacha like Rabbi Shimon that davar she'enu mitkaven is mutar? When you do not intend for something, then it's mutar. Over here, you're not intending for the petach. You're simply intending to remove or release the dam. Therefore, the petach is not really a petach. It's a davar she'enu mitkaven, and that's why it's mutar. Oh, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. Or is halacha like Rabbi Yehuda says, davar she'enu mitkaven is asur. So then, which way is the halacha? V'im tim salom ar halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. Even if you hold halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that davar she'enu mitkaven is asur, mikalkahu etzel petach. Here, the petach is a kilkul. There is some sort of kilkul that goes on over here. Oh, metakeinu etzel petach, or is this a tikkun? Here you have to look at the nature of a b'dula turning into a bi'ula. A b'dula turning into a bi'ula, for instance, we know in terms of the ktubah. Ktubah for a b'dula is 200 zuz. The ktubah for an almana, or for a bi'ula, is 100 zuz. So already there's some indication that there is a value or a higher premium on a woman who's a betula versus a bi'ula. So in one sense, there is a partial diminishment over here, or a kilkul that is taking place? On the other hand, is it mitakein? Because over here, this individual wants the dam betulim released. The person who's marrying this woman wants to, in a sense, know that she is a betula, and he wants it released, and therefore, maybe there is no kilkul over here, but rather a tikkun, as far as this individual is concerned. So that is the last leg of this. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, davar shemit kavein is mutar. Now then, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, davar shemit kavein is either asur or chayav. That's a machloket rishonim. About Rabbi Shehuda Shita, when he says davar shein mitkaven is problematic, is it chayav or is it just patur aval asur? A lot of Rishonim split between by Shabbat, where they say that davar shein mitkaven is patur aval asur, whereas the rest of the Torah, it is chayav chatat, because of the issue of melechet machshevet. Shabbat has an additional layer of machshava that is needed here, intent that is needed. Therefore, by Shabbat, you'll be left by davar shein mitkaven as being patur aval asur, but by the rest of the Torah, it'll be chayav v'chatat. But even if you say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's chayav, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitato says, mekalkel is patur aval asur. So therefore, now you're down to a next level of patur aval asur. Even so, why does that help you? The answer might be that even though over here it's patur aval asur, we might say that be makom mitzvah, we will waive it and allow you to do this isur drabanan because of the makom mitzvah. On the other hand, Tosafot suggests that maybe even Shaloba Makom Mitzvah would still be Mutar over here because you have Trade Rabbonon. That's like we explained before, that by Davar Sheinu Mitkaven, according to Rabbi Yehuda, on Shabbat, that's only an Isur Dirabanan, Patur Aval Asur. On top of that, now you have Mikalkel, which is also Patur Aval Asur Midirabanan. If you put the two of them together, that might be the Matir over here. On the other hand, you could hold like Rabbi Shimon and say Davar Sheinu Mitkaven is Mutar, so you can't get past Davar Sheinu Mitkaven, so you're done already. All right, then the ikadamre. Others start the imtim solomar this way, which is imtim solomar dam chubarei michbar, starting out that we agree that it's a wound that's going to come out. The dam utzarich vasur. He needs the dam, and therefore it's asur because it's melacha shetzricha legufa. Odimel hanat atzmo utzarich vishari. Or maybe it's for its own benefit, his own pleasure to know this. He doesn't really care about the blood. He just cares about the bia with the woman, and therefore it's a davar she'enu mitkaven, and that's why it's mutar. It's for his own ana, and the blood comes out on its own, meaning that it's not intentional result of what he's doing. It's an unintentional consequence of what he's doing. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda or halacha Rabbi Shimon? Is there the halacha like Rabbi Shimon that davar she'enu mitkaven is mutar? When you do not intend for something, then it's mutar. Even though Rabbi Shimon believes that mekalkel is chayav, nevertheless, we're saying that medavar sheinu mitkaven, it would be mutar, despite the fact that Rabbi Shimon himself says that by mitasek on Shabbat, you're only patur there because it's not melechet machshevet. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon is michayev by mitasek bechabura, just like he is by mekalkel bechabura, because mekalkel for Rabbi Shimon is chayav on Shabbat. So why over here by davar sheinu mitkaven, is that not a problem for Rabbi Shimon? And so why should Rabbi Shimon over here be poter in the case of Enu Mitkaven by Chabura more than he would be by the case of Mitasek by Chabura? Tosfot says that the Pturim derive from a separate location. By Mitasek on Shabbat, the reason one is Patur is because he's Mitasek vis-a-vis Melechet Machshevet. Melechet Machshevet is a demand on Shabbat, and when you're Mitasek, you're lacking in Melechet Machshevet. And that's why you're Patur on Shabbat. It's even more extensive because the Rekiva Eger says that by mitasek anywhere else besides Shabbat and Shas, over there there is a Maisa Aveiro, you just don't bring a Korban, you're not Chayav a Korban. But by Shabbat there's not even a Maisa Aveiro because you lack Melechet Machshevet. But according to Rabbi Shimon, who says on Shabbat, by mitasek, by Chabura on Shabbat, you're Chayav, because Mekalkel b'Chabura is Chayav, according to Rabbi Shimon, we ignore Melechet Machshevet. So therefore, by mitasek, by Chabura, you're going to be Chayav. On the other hand, the Ptur of Davar Sheinu Mitkaven, as we've seen, applies throughout Shas. Davar Sheinu Mitkaven is not just a Ptur because of Melechet Machshevet in Shabbat. Davar Sheinu Mitkaven is a Ptur throughout the Torah and Kol HaMitzvot HaTorah. And the reason that Rabbi Shimon says you're Ptur by Shabbat is not because of Melechet Machshevet, it's because it's Davar Sheinu Mitkaven. And therefore, if it's Davar Sheinu Mitkaven, it's irrelevant whether Mekalkel B'Chabura is Chayav on Shabbat, because it just never reaches that point of discussing Melechet Machshevet. And that's why Rabbi Shimon will say, by mitasek b'chabura you're chayav, whereas by davar shein mitkaven b'chabura you will be mutar. Oh, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. Or is halacha like Rabbi Yehuda who says, davar shein mitkaven is asur. So then, which way is the halacha? V'im timso lomar halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Even if you hold halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, that davar sheni mitkaven is asur, mekalkel b'chabura, or mitaken b'chabura hu. Again, here, is it a case of mekalkel, so even if you're being mekalkel, which would again lower it down to an isur derabanan, or mitaken b'chabura hu, or is this an aspect of tikkun to it? Because it's tikkun, you're going to be chayaf. V'im timso lomar mekalkel b'chabura hu, if you believe that it's mekalkel, therefore even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it is only patur of alasur b'mekalkel. Now, in addition to that, it happens to be that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue about mekalkel on Shabbat, mekalkel by a chabura on Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda believes that mekalkel by a chabura on Shabbat is not a problematic. I mean, it's patur of alasur because it's the Rabbanan, we worry about it. Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that mekalkel is a chabura on Shabbat is problematic. So, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, which is when you say mekalkel b'chabura b'Shabbat, is halacha like Rabbi Yehuda says you are patur, or like Rabbi Shimon who says you are chayab. There is no din of mekalkel by Shabbat, because the nature of chabura is mekalkel. So even though generally by melechot Shabbat we require a mitakein, we require a tikkun that is involved, by definition, chabura is something that doesn't involve a tikkun, and therefore you can't say that a mekalkel by chabura, you need a tikkun, because the definition of the melacha is that it is a chabura, something that is a wrecking of the individual, and therefore mekalkel by chabura is chayav. That should be an interesting shiluv between the shitot. In Rabbi Yehuda's shita, it could be that he holds like Rabbi Shimon, which is that mekalkel by chabura is problematic. So that is the different layers of questioning that the Gemara lays out over here, as to how do we get to the halacha. Now we're going to have the Gemara focus on the psak halacha that comes out of this, and then we're going to deal with the sugya psak reshe also after that. So now the Gemara says, v'bei Rav Amrei, in the Beit Midrash of Rav, they say, Rav Shori, Rav is matir, u'shmul asar, and Shmuel says it's asur, meaning that being boela betula, betchila on Shabbat, Rav says mutar, Shmuel says asur. Benarda, Narda is the city of Shmuel. Amri Rav Asar, Ushmuel Shari. Over there they say Rav says it's Asur, Shmuel says it's Shari. Arav Nachmar Yitzchak v'simaneich. This is the siman that you should take to heart, to remember who says what. Elu mekilim l'atzman, ve'elu mekilim l'atzman. In each area, they say that their posek is the one that says the kula. So Bei Rav, in the Bei Midrash of Rav, or in the city of Rav, they say Rav says mutar. And for them, they're being matir to have beyond Shabbat. In Narda, which is Shmuel's city, they say Shmuel is the one who's matir, because they're going to pass them like Shmuel over there. So he says, you want to remember which way is which with regards to which memra, you'll know that by Bei Rav, Rav is the matir. By Narda, Shmuel is the matir in that case. Rav Shari, is Rav really matir over here? Can that really work? Can you really say that Rav is matir? V'amar Rav Shimi bar Chizkia mishmei de Rav hay mesuchraya de nezaita asur lo haduka b'yom atovo. A plug or a cork of sorts, you're not allowed to squeeze it in on Yom Tov. This is a case where they opened up a tap or a hole in a barrel, so the liquid is coming in. You want to stop the liquid from coming in. So when you want to stop the liquid coming in, you have to plug it. Now by plugging it, you have to make it a plug that is strong enough to hold so that the liquid will not escape. So just simply putting something there won't do it. You need it to be, in a sense, jammed in order for it to stop the liquid from removing. What they usually did was they used a cloth around it and then used the plug inside the cloth, and that jammed it in and locked it against the walls of the hole. And that's how they created this plug. So now, once you have that, what is the issue? Because the Gemara here is saying that it is asur. Why is it asur? So now, the Gemara, without even moving forward, it says, Bahau afilu Rabbi Shimon modeh. Gemara says, whatever we're doing wrong here, we're assuming it's a davar sheinu mitkaven. So davar sheinu mitkaven, if it's Rabbi Shimon, the halacha should be that it's mutar. Yet here we're saying that it's asur. The Gemara answers that even according to Rabbi Shimon over here, it's going to be asur, because afilu Rabbi Shimon modeh, d'abai v'ravad amrei tarvayu. Abai and Rabbah, both of them say, Moda Rabbi Shimon, Psik Reshe, Velo Yomut. That Rabbi Shimon agrees by the case of Psik Reshe, that it is Asur. Even though in general he holds, Dover Sheinu Mitkavein is Mutar, when it is a Psik Reshe, there's an automatic derivative of your action as a Melacha, then we say it's Asur, even if it is a Dover Sheinu Mitkavein. Right, this has huge Nafkaminot, how to formulate this idea of psik reisha is a machloket and has major nafkaminot halacha as to whether when a person takes an action, for instance, over here, he's eno mitkavein, he has no intent for the outcome, that is the malacha, but he does intend to do what he's doing. So for instance, over here, he's intending to plug, but he's not intending to do whatever malacha is associated with this. We still have to get to whatever malacha is involved over here, but he doesn't intend for it. What does that mean? How do we connect between the action that he takes and the derivative action, which is problematic over here? The derivative action is a malacha, but his original action or his intended action has no malacha associated with it. Why are you chayav in these cases? There are two ways to formulate that. One is to say that the intent that you have by the first malacha is carried over to the second malacha because it's an automatic outcome. It's a derivative of the action that you're taking. If you intend for the first action, we're going to automatically assign your intent to the second action. Even though it's an unintended consequence, but because it will happen automatically, we make it as if it is an intended consequence, and as if it is a davar shemitkaven. That's one way to look at it. So then, in that case, why are you chayav? Because you had kavana for this. If you have kavana for this, that you're chayav over here. The other way to say it is that davar she'inu mitkaven, and this is the way that the Rashba and others formulated, is that it remains a davar she'inu mitkaven. It is a davar she'inu mitkaven, except nechle. You want the outcome. So even though it's an unintended consequence, nevertheless, you want it. It is something that benefits you, or in the other terms, it's a psik reshe denechele. In the end, that's what you want, and therefore, because you want it, you're going to be chayav because it's something you want. Not because it's mitkavein, it is eno mitkavein, but it's eno mitkavein denechele. And since you want it, we're going to tell you that it's as if you did that action, and therefore you are chayav. Those are the two ways to formulate this. They have numerous nafkaminot between them as to how you formulate this, whether you really have kavana here, or whether we just say because it's nechale, one of them, which of course is psik reshe delo nechale. In a case where it's a psik reshe that you don't want, or you don't want the intended outcome. So now, what is the problem over here in terms of plugging in the cork? So Rashi says the problem is, asur l'haduka, you can't plug it tightly, mishum schita. Problem of schita. What's going to happen is when you put the cloth there, the cloth is going to sap up the moisture or the liquid that's inside. And when you jam the plug in with the cloth, it's going to squeeze on the cloth. And by definition, that's going to leach liquid when you squeeze on it. That's schita. You're squeezing out the liquid from the cloth. Is that your intention? No. Your intention is simply to plug the barrel. But an automatic consequence of that is that the cloth will be squeezed. There will be schita. And therefore, it becomes what's called a psik reshe. And since it's a psik reshe, it's going to be problematic. And that's what Gemara is saying over here. That's the way Rashi learns the problem. And that's the issue over here. Now, that is not only Rashi. That's many others that say this. As Tosafot quotes over here, Perisha Kuntris, Bechein the Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Aruch in one of his Lashonot, and the Seder Tanaim Vamorim. Everybody says it's Asur Mishim Schita. But, of course, we have the Rabbeinu Tam. And the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't like this because he says, Schita is a derivative of Toladav Libun, of laundering, of cleaning something. And he says, this is the second, there are two stages in the Rabbeinu Tam. One is, schita is a problem of libun. Why do you suchet an object? Is because you want to remove whatever liquid, whatever's inside of there, to clean the object. You want to remove what's there. Number two is that libun only applies by water. By other materials, by other liquids, it's not called libun. Libun only applies by water. And then Rabbeinu Tam brings numerous cases in the Gemara where we don't worry about schita. Even though we're talking about a cloth that is full of liquid, why don't we worry about the fact that you're going to squeeze it out? For instance, we allow to use a cloth to be misanein, to filter the wine. When you have shmarim on it, a wine that could be you could drink without filtering it. If you filter it, you're allowed to do that. Why don't we worry about the fact that you're going to sochet the cloth? He shows other instances where we don't worry about schita, and he says the reason is because it's not water. Water is the only time that it counts as libun, and schita only applies by water. And therefore, the answer here cannot be what we're talking about schita, because here we're talking about a barrel of wine, we're talking about a barrel of oil, whatever it is, we're not talking about water for sure. So we're talking about another liquid besides water. If that's the case, there is no schita over here. The Rabbeinu Tam says that there is a schita that involves wine and oil, but that's when you do schita as mifarek. That's when you squeeze a grape and you take the liquid out of it, that's called schita. That's schita because you want the liquid that's coming out of it. Right? As opposed to the schita over here by the libun, which is you want the resultant object that you remove the liquid from to be clean, Over there, the schita, you want the actual liquid that you're squeezing out. But by olives and by grapes, where the liquid for sure is something that you want, there, doraita, it's called schita. And therefore, there is an issue of mifareik. V'hocha, omer rabu teinu tam, t'olech le'meimer da'asur mishum mifareik, keven sha'nischat t'olech le'ibud. So over here, the one possibility of schita would have been that you're squeezing a mifareik, you're taking out the liquid from the cloth. So again, we said schita, it comes in two forms. One is where you want to clean, libo, and you want to clean the object. That's clearly not the issue over here. The other schita is that you're so chait, you get the liquid out because you want the liquid. Well, guess what? You don't want the liquid over here. It's schita li'ibud. Because whatever comes out of here is going to drip down onto the floor. It's not going to be kept. You're not going to keep whatever liquid gets squeezed out of it. So therefore, even though it is a psik reshe, since it's holech li'ibud, that's why over here we're going to say that it should have been, okay, it is not a psik reshe. And the oruch comes along and says, yeah, you know what, you're right. Any psik reshe delo nechele is shari. So here, even though it's a psik reshe delo nechele, and since it's a psik reshe delo nechele, it should be mutar. That's the shita of the oruch all over Shas. We've dealt this in many other cases, that when you have a psik reshe that you don't want the outcome of the melacha that's being done, over there, it is mutar. The read, at Tosafot, all over Shas, takes issue with the Aruch and argues on the Aruch, and turns around all the proofs that the Aruch has and makes them into questions on the Aruch. Now, the read views the Rabbeinu Tam and the Aruch as Psik Reisha Dulonekoli being one and the same. Many of the other Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ramban, all believe that the Rabbeinu Tam Shita is unique to Dash. And by Dash, we say Dash Li'ibud is mutar. But, in general, we will not say that by the Psik Reshe Delo Nechele. They do not agree with the Aruch. And they believe, similar to the Ri, that Psik Reshe Delo Nechele is the equivalent of Melacha She'ina Tzricha de Gufa. And it is Patur Aval Asur. So the Ri, in the end, disagrees on two levels with the Rabbeinu Tam. He says, first of all, Schita applies not only by water. It applies by liquids and other liquids, like wine and oil over here. Number two is, he says, why don't we worry about Schita in those other cases, which is the Rabbeinu Tam's proof that schita doesn't apply by oil and wine? He says, because when a person is doing something intentionally, we don't worry about schita. If a person takes a cloth to use as a filter for the wine, then he's not going to be sochet the cloth because he's using the cloth intentionally to be for the sinun, to be the filter over here. Where we worry about schita is where you're taking the cloth for whatever reason, as a liquid, and you're going to squeeze it out because you want the cloth. But if you're intentionally soaking the cloth, then there's no reason to believe that you're going to be sochet the cloth because you soak the cloth for the point of soaking it or utilizing it in that manner.
He also notes that maybe it's not schita or libun with these types of liquids because even after you're sochet and you take them out, there's still always a residual or a smell that's left in the baggage, and so there's really no libun that's created by the schita.
And that's how he separates between the cases that the Gemara worries about schita or does not worry about schita. Alright, so now, over here, the Gemara says over here, we have a psik reshe of what? Rashi says it's schita. That's the problem over here. The Ri, in the end, agrees with him that we have a problem of schita, because we do apply schita to shemen and to yain as well. And therefore, the Ri, in the end, basically agrees with Rashi that there's an issue of schita here as well. The Rabbeinu Tam says it can't be schita, because number one, we're talking about yain and shemen, and schita is only applicable by water, by libun, that you're cleaning the object. So now, what's the problem by schita on these other objects? It's a problem of mifareik. So then, in a case of mifareik, then you have to look at it whether it's the ibud or it's not the ibud. So in a case where you mifareik the ibud, over there it is mutar. That's how you can milk a cow that has tsar on Shabbat. You milk it the ibud, then in that case, it's not called mifareik because you're doing it the ibud and it's not a problem. Because dash the ibud or mifareik the ibud is not problematic. So over here, what you have to say is something along the lines of what Shaul said, which is that when you plug it in, even though it's a mifareik, it's not necessarily going to ibud. Because when you squeeze in the cloth, part of it will go into the barrel, part of it will come out, but there is some of it that is preserved over there. And therefore the schita ends up preserving some of the liquid over here, and therefore it's problematic according to the Rabbeinu Tam. And that's the issue that we're facing over here. The Aruch, who says that we're dealing with a psik reshe delo nechele is mutar, over here, you could argue that it is delo nechele. If it is delo nechele over here, according to Aruch, it should be mutar. Then you have to come up with what the issue is. Why is it problematic over here? If you say it's nechele that he wants to squeeze out, then you can argue that the problem here is still a problem of psik reshe. So the Aruch discusses why the problem over here is the nechele when he plugs it in is because He's actually sealing up the petach. It's not a problem that you're doing schita over here, because schita is a psik reshe, delo nechle. So therefore, according to the Aruch, you have to come up with another issue. What's the issue over here? And that's what the Aruch says in his Loshon Acher. It's Mesugraita Nizaita Stimat Gigit Shel Shechar Asur Lahaduka Shema Tivatela Stima. Because maybe you're going to leave the plug there. It's like a Gigit Yaseh Kli B'Shabbat. It's as if you're making a Kli B'Shabbat. The Re argues on this and says it's completely incorrect. Because if when you put it there, you intended to plug it up and leave it there, then it's a Malacha right away. Forget about Psik Reshe, you're making a Kli right away. If you did not intend to leave it there, then why does it ever become a psik reshe? Because in the end, you're going to take it out. When you're going to take it out, there's no psik reshe over here. So he says he doesn't understand that lashon of the Aruch, but that will be the way that the Aruch will have to explain the issue of psik reshe over here. If you believe psik reshe delo nechale is mutar according to the Aruch, it can't be an issue of schita. It has to be an issue of plugging it up or creating a seal on the barrel. Right? So those are the different approaches to what the problem is here. Schita, mifareik, or plugging it up, making a kli on Shabbat. So now, Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Don't we know the Gemara in Shabbat in numerous places? We have mentioned that Rav holds Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Chanan Bar Ami, Amar Shmuel, Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon. And Shmuel says Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Rav Chiya Bar Avin Matni La Below Gavre. He has it without attribution to another Amora, but directly. Rav Amar Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel Amar, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. The Rav says Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel says Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So forget about the fact that Rav agrees by the case of plugging the barrel. That's a psik reshe. Rav in general says Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. That Davar Sheinu Mitkaven is either Asur and Shabbat or Chayav and Shabbat. He does not hold like Rabbi Shimon. How can the Bei Rav claim that Rav is Matir over here if he holds Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Mar says, Lolam Rav ka Rabbi Yehuda svirle. You're right, Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Lahach lishna, damar mifkad pakid. But according to the Lashon that says that the dam betulim is mifkad pakid, mikalkelu it's la petach. Then by the petach it's mikalkel, and therefore he can hold like Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda that tover sheno mitgavein would have been asur. The only thing is here is that you're mikalkel. Since you're mikalkel the petach, you end up, according to Rabbi Yehuda Lishitato, ends up that Mekalkal is also Patur of Allah Surah and Shabbat, and B'makom Mitzvah, we're going to be Matir. V'ach Mishna Damar Dam Chaburei Mechbar, Mekalkal B'chaburahu. According to Lashon that says, Dam Chaburei, just say that he's Mekalkal by the Chabura. So yes, you can hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and say, Davar Sheinu Mitkaven is Chayav, and nevertheless, you could still say that over here, you are Patur, or you are allowed to do this, because Rabbi Yehuda in his Shita also believes that Mekalkel Bechabura is Patur. So you could hold like Rabbi Yehuda in both instances, and even though, again, you have either Davar Sheinu Mitkaven, either way, in Rabbi Yehuda you would have been Chayav, nevertheless, over here you're going to say that it is Patur of Allah Sur, because it's Mekalkel, but Makom Mitzvah, we're going to allow you to do this, and it's going to be Mutar. So even though Rav Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, Bimlachin Shabbat, he could still, there's an extension of Rabbi Yehuda that allows it to be mutar over here, which is Rabbi Yehuda believes by Mekalkel Bechabura, you are mutar. Then you could still hold that it's mutar to be boiled b'tchila b'Shabbat, despite that fact that you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, which is basically the Imtim Salomars. The two Imtim Salomars said, even according to Shita Rabbi Yehuda, you could still end up in a Makom Heter because you just say it's Mekalkel. If you say it's Mekalkel, it drops it down to an Isur Derabanan right away, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Meiti Rav Chista, Tinoket Shlo Igiaz Mana Lirot. If you have a young girl who has yet to reach the age where she has sightings of Nida, she has yet to have her menstrual cycle, Vinisait, and she gets married. Bitshamay Omrim Notnim La Arba Leilot. She gets 4 nights in this case, Bitil Omrim, Ad Shetichya Maka, until the wound is healed. On the other hand, if this is a girl who already has reached the age where she can have a menstrual cycle, Vinisait, and she gets married, you get the first night. Until Motzei Shabbat, which is 4 nights. What we're worried about here is, Dam Bitulim is a setting of Dam that does not make a woman Tmeah. Dam Bitulim comes from the vaginal canal, does not come from the uterus. It's not Dam that makes an Isha Tmeah. So now, we have to figure out, is this Dam that we're seeing now, Dam from the Bitulim, which means that's a Dam of a wound, and it does not make the Isha Tmeah? Or is it Dam from the uterus, which would make her into Nida, and she would be Tmeah? So what we have is what's called Tliya. If we can be Tole the Dam on a wound, We're going to assume that the dam is coming from the womb and not from the uterus. Well, how do we know? In a case where a woman has yet to reach the age where she's going to have a menstrual cycle, it's clear that she's not a nida anymore. Over there, Beit Shammai says that the wound usually lasts for 4 nights, and therefore you can assume over that period of 4 nights, the reason that she's seeing dam is from the wound. But Beit Hillel says, until techiyah makah, until it's healed. As long as the wound is still there, you can assume it's the wound, and that is really no direct time limit. It can be over a larger span of time. And Rashi says, the determination is that if the person continues to have bi'ah and sees dam, then it's very clear that the makah is the problem over here. Because every time he has bi'ah, she sees dam, it's clear that's being generated by the makah, and there you can assume that it's always the makah. Because again, this is a girl has yet to reach the point where she's having a menstrual cycle anyway, so you can make that assumption. When the girl is already of an age where she could have a menstrual cycle, then you have a problem now, because you have competing factors that could be contributing to the dam. The dam could be coming because of the wound, or it could be coming because she's having her menstrual cycle. How do you know? So Beit Shammai says you get the first night. On the first night, you can assume any dam seen on the first night is dam tulim. And the chiddush of the Beit Shammai is that you're going to be boel numerous times on the first night, because we assume that the dam that you're seeing is all the dam from the wound. After that, it's true that it might be dam from the wound, but it's also possible that it's dam nida. You won't be able to differentiate. And therefore, we assume that it is dam nida as well. The other hand, Beit Hillel gives you 4 nights in order to do this. Girl gets married on Wednesday. Wednesday night is the first. Thursday night is the second. Friday night is the third. Motzei Shabbat is the fourth. So that's what it says here. Ad Motzei Shabbat arba alelot. She gets 4 nights where you can assume that it is dam from the wound. Now, it happens to be, just as an aside, in the Gemara Nida, the 4 times, according to Beit Hillel, do not have to be sequential. It's the first 4 times he has bi'ah, and they don't have to be sequential, and Enoch Hanami, the Gemara, could have answered the question that way, saying it's not ritzufim, irrelevant if they are sequential or not. And we would have gotten rid of the question. The Gemara goes a different route, and says, the question from this is that Beit Hillel says 4 nights, including Friday night. Well, that means that on Friday night, you had bi'ah on Friday night, even though there's dam betulim involved here on Friday night. So my love, dilo ba'al matzi boil. Let us understand that the shita of Beit Hillel over here is that if he didn't have bi'ah on the first night, he can have it on the second night. He didn't have it on the second night, he can have it on the third night. The fourth night, meaning we give him 4 days to have bi'ah, which means that he would possibly have bi'ah on Friday night for the first time. Afilu b'Shabbat. And that would be even on Shabbat. Amarov olo levar mi Shabbat. Not including Shabbat. It means 4 nights, not including Shabbat. That makes no sense. Because if you are right, then all you have to say is Ad Motzei Shabbat, and that's it. The fact that Mishnah goes over twice and says Ad Motzei Shabbat, Arba'a Leilot. The fact that you say Til Motzei Shabbat, 4 nights, that's telling you that every night is Ra'oi. And therefore, what you're explaining, or how you explain this Rava, does not work over here. Because you can't say Levar Mi Shabbat, then why are you saying 4 Leilot? There's no meaning to the 4 Leilot then. Unless you say, it's a case where he had already had bi'ah. So then you have Fred's question. If you already had bi'ah, then what's the big deal to have bi'ah again on Friday night? Whatever damage, quote unquote, was done, was already done on the first night of the bi'ah. On Friday night, he's definitely not doing anything new that hasn't been done already. So there can't be any malacha on Friday night. Kamash malon, deshari the mivel b'Shabbat. It's mutar to have bi'ah on Shabbat. Kiddush Shmuel, Damar Shmuel. So why would you even have a Havamina that you can't have bi'ah on Friday night? He says, Pirtza dechuka, mutar likanes ba b'Shabbat. Because Shmuel says that even though, and this is most likely with a young girl, again, in the cases where this is early on in it, her having bi'ah, if she has a very narrow canal, then when the person enters in the canal, afa pi shemeshir tzrorot, even though then the friction create some sort of removal of these tzrorot, then you would have thought that's problematic on Shabbat. The answer is that it's not. This is not an issue on Shabbat, and therefore it is mutar. So on Shabbat, if you were to go through a doorway which is very narrow, and there is a possibility that you're going to knock off some stones from the doorway, you're allowed to do that because it's davar she'inu mitkavein. Since it's a Dor Sheinu Mitkavein, we allow you to go through this because there is no issue of Meshir Tzrorot when it is Davar Sheinu Mitkavein. And since it's not a Psigreshe, it's allowed. So too over here by the case of the Bitula. So you would have had a Havamina that even though we're already past the original Bi'ah, that even a secondary or tertiary biah, because this is a young girl who's a ptula. So therefore, you would have thought there's a problem. Over here, maybe it's mechabel porta, as Rashi says. Maybe it's ruining something. It's opening something up in some way. But we say, misfeik alo asrinin lei. Because it's a safek, it's not a psik reshe. Since it's not a psik reshe, it's a davar sheinu mitkaven. Davar sheinu mitkaven is mutar b'shabbat. So even though technically you might be widening the petach in some way, you might be additionally creating some sort of chibul over here, we don't worry about that on Shabbat, even though there's this remote possibility that it is that way, again, because it's not psik reshe, davar sheinu mitkaven, and therefore it's mutar. So that's the way Rava deals with it in the end. It says, Enyo Hanami already was Biyah, and the Arba Leilot over here, even though there was Biyah, we allow you to have Biyah again on the Friday night. But you cannot prove from here that you can have Biyah Rishona on Friday night. Meitiv Rav Yosef, Chatan Patur Mikriyat Shema Laila Rishon Ad Motzei Shabbat. Im Lo Asa Maaseh, a Chatan does not say Kriyat Shema on the first night, on the night of his wedding, Ad Motzei Shabbat, until Motzei Shabbat, same 4 days that we're talking about here, if he hasn't done anything yet. So it's obvious over here that the reason that he's patur for Kriyat Shema is because he has yet to do Biyah. That means that he has all this time until Motzei Shabbat. One of those days between the day that he got married and the time that he gets to Motzei Shabbat is Friday night. So the Gemara seems to indicate that he can be patur any of these nights as long as he has yet to be Boel, his wife. My love, the Tarid. Because why is he Tarud over here? He's worried about Dubai the Mival. He has to do Biyah over here. Since he's worried about doing the Biyah, he can't concentrate on Kriyat Shema. Since he can't concentrate on Kriyat Shema, therefore he is patur from doing Kriyat Shema. But you see over here, that's any one of these nights. That means Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, or Motzei Shabbat. That means that even on Friday night, it could be a possibility he's patur me Kriyat Shema because he's worried about having Biyah that night. Otherwise, what it should have said is, on Motzei Shabbat, excluding Shabbat. Shabbat, you're not patur because you can't have Biyah that night for the first time. So Amar Abayi, Delo, Detori, Delo Boyu. He's not tarud about the fact that he is going to do Biyah. He's tarud that he didn't do Biyah yet. That's what he's tarud about. It's not that he's tarud about doing the Biyah. The Tarida is even about that he's not Bayol. In that case, even on Friday night, even though he can't be Boel that night, he could still be a bit Tirda because he has yet to do Biyah. So he could still be tarud. Amalei Rovo, Mishum Tirda, Potur. Since when, just because you're busy or your mind is captured by something else, are you automatically Potur? Elamiato, the very famous, this is Gemara in Brachot, very famous question. Tavas Finatobiyam. He has a boat that is carrying all of his merchandise. It's a big business investment. And it capsized. The ship went down in the sea. Hachanami the Patur. So there should be Patur because he's Tarud. He's worried about what happened to his ship, what happened to all his merchandise, everything that was on there, or the people on the boat, whatever it is. He should be Patur from Kriyat Shema. We never found such a Patur in our life. Here is Tarud. That's the best Tarud you could have. And yet, he's not Patur mi Kriyat Shema. V'chitei ma'ochanami, if you say that's true, v'amar Rabbi Ava bar Zavda marav. Avel chayav b'chol ha-mitzvot, amaro p'torah. And Avel is chayav in all mitzvot of the Torah, chutz min ha-tfilin. With the exception of tfilin, sh'ne'amar b'hen, pe'er. Because by the tfilin it says pe'er, we'll discuss that in 1 second, but you see clearly in Avel, there's nobody more tarud than the Avel over his sorrow, over his loss. And he's tarud b'zen, yet we say in Avel is chayav in Kriyat Shema. So if you're telling me that the whole problem here is tirda, then tirda is not a p'tur by Avel. It's certainly not a p'tur by your ship sinking if it's not a p'tur by Avel. Over here too, Abaye, you're saying he's not tarud by the fact that he has to do the mitzvah biyah. He's tarud that he has yet to do the biyah. And therefore he's not tirda b'mitzvah. So therefore he's just tarud. That's not a p'tur to allow you to get out of Kriyat Shema. And so why should there be a p'tur of Kriyat Shema here according to Abaye? Abaye obviously believes that the tirda over here of not being biyah is still connected to the mitzvah in some way. The fact that he's tarud, that he didn't do biyah, is because he has to do biyah eventually, and therefore there's a mitzvah involved. That's how Abaye is going to have to explain it. Now, with regards to Avel, Avel is chayav in all the mitzvot, and Torah chutz mitfilin. Why is he patur mitfilin? As Tosfot points out of here, the Gemara says it's because the pasuk in Yechezkel. In the pasuk in Yechezkel, it says, Pe'ercha chavush alecha. It says by Yechezkel that you have to keep your crown on your head. The crown referred to the tfilin. We know that we say by the bracha boter Yisrael b'tifara. One of the interpretations of that bracha boter Yisrael b'tifara means to put on the tefillin. Others say it's the covering of the head, it's the kippah. That's why some people on Tisha B'Av don't make the bracha boter Yisrael b'tifara in the morning. They only make it in the afternoon when they put on their tefillin because it's associated with the atarah, the crown, the pe'er that's there. By Yechezkel, Hashem tells Yechezkel, you are going to lose your machmarei necha, your wife, but you're not going to act like an avel. So what are you going to do? You're going to put on tefillin. So you see that when Yechezkel put on tefillin, that was not the normal way that the Navel acted. So that means for us, we can't do what Yechezkel did. Yechezkel put on tefillin, we don't put on tefillin. Tosafot continues to ask, over there it says that Yechezkel is Haneg Dom, that he was silent. And that we say the Avel has to do. Just like he was silent, so too the Avel has to be silent from learning Torah. Also, he's silent, he doesn't greet people, there's no Levat Shalom. So how come in some cases we act like Yechezkel and sometimes we act the opposite of Yechezkel? So Tosafot differentiates and says, where Yechezkel took a positive action, he did something actively, then we can't do what he did. So here where he put on tefillin, we can't put on tefillin. On the other hand, where he desisted from something, he did something negative, Shev Be'altatze, we have to copy him. So in the case where he was silent and Ekdom, we have to mimic what he does, and we're Henekdom also. That's what Tosafot says. Rashi over here adds in an additional aspect here, which says, Vavel mi'ulal be'afar karno v'rosho. This Avel wallows in his sorrow and in the dust. Veinzo pe'er l'tfilin. And that is not a pe'er for the tfilin. So as opposed to the limud of the Gemara, which is pretty direct from Yechezkel, which says Yechezkel put on a pe'er, we don't put on a pe'er, Rashi explains why that is. Why is it that an Avel can't have a pe'er? And so what Rashi says is that they are mutually exclusive. That they cannot exist together. Avel and tfilin can exist together because the nature of the Avel is to be wallowing in the dirt and to be, have his hair disheveled and covered in dust and ashes on his head. And because of that, he cannot reconcile that with the pe'er, the crown of tefillin. And that's why an Avel doesn't put on tefillin, or why you would assume that an Avel doesn't put on tefillin, because they are things that can't be reconciled. They can't be brought together. A person can have a crown when he's wallowing in the dirt and has his hair covered like that. And that's why Rashi explains to him the nature of what the Avel is on his first day. This din only applies to the first day. By the first day of Avelut, right after the Kvura, that they don't put on tefillin. Right. After they bury the mate, then he turns into an Avel. This is the first day of Avelut. So then, here, the Gemara says you don't put on tefillin. That seems to be the Psach Halacha. There has become a practice. Well, after a little while, they try to put on tefillin at the end of the day to get it on. It's not so clear that halachically that is appropriate, but it has become the Minag Ha'am. A lot of places that people do this. I discussed this in Moed Katan when we discussed the Din in Moed Katan as to why this developed and how it came about that people started to put on tefillin. But the practice should be that people on their first day of Avelut do not put on tefillin, and that's what's written by the Gemara. The question of why the first day, either because according to those Rishonim that it's Doraita, then it's easy to understand. According to those Rishonim that say it's the Rabbanan, they have to come up with a reason why tefillin are excluded from the first day, and it might be because of the state of the Avel. But we know that the state of Avel changes over the period of the Shiva. It's the first day, the first 3 days, and then there's the 7 days. This description that Rashi says of Avel Me'ulal Be'afar Karno, an Onein is not an Avel, according to many, because the mate is still there. Until the dirt, or until the stimata goes out and the person is buried in the ground, that is when the emotional impact of death hits. And that's when the Avel really becomes an Avel. And that first Avel of Avelut, of coming to that realization and coming to grips with the death, that's the extreme form of Avelut on that first day. And there, that's what Rashi describes. He's mu'ulal be'afar and he can't handle it. That's where pe'er is not allowed. By the time he gets to the second day already, they're starting slowly moving away from that state of being, and therefore you could have pe'er. So even according to those that say it's the Rabbanan, that's why you would separate between the first day and the other days. Again, the Gemara in Moed Katan discusses this, that the first day is distinct by this versus other days.
Whereas Tosafot claims that Rashi's explanation here helps to explain why we don't extrapolate the din of tefillin to other mitzvot, and that the Avel is only patur mitzvilin, but he is chayav in other mitzvot because of this unique aspect of pe'er by tefillin.
So El Amar Rava. Rava says, Tanayehi. It actually is a machloket Tanayim. So instead of saying over here, where you have a braita that seemingly says that you can have bi'ah rishona on Shabbat, and the tirda of that bi'ah rishona would be poter you from kriyat shema, and we have a braita before which seemingly we thought says that you're not allowed to be bo'el b'tchila b'Shabbat. That's opinion. What are we going to do? Machloket Tanaim. The Tana Chada im lo asa maseh b'rishon patur. Because we have one Tana that says if he didn't do a maseh on the first day, he's patur. Af b'sheni. B'sheni. If he didn't do a maseh on the second night, patur. Af b'shlishi. Then he's also patur on the third day. B'tani idach, rishon b'sheni patur, shlishi chayav. We have another bright that says the first 2 days he's patur, on the third day he's chayav. Well, let's look at the days. Wednesday night is the first day. Thursday night is the second day. Friday night is the third day. So here you have a machloket tanaim as to whether you're potur mikriyat shema on the third night. Are you potur or not? Well, that'll depend on whether you think you can have biyah on that night. If you can have biyah on that night, you have tirdash shel mitzvah. Tirdash shel mitzvah is poter you mikriyat shema, and therefore you'd be potur. If you cannot have biyah on that night, then there's no patur for Kriyat Shema. This is exactly what's going on here in these two brayot. One man d'amar is saying you're patur on the Friday night from Kriyat Shema, which means you could do boel b'tchila on Friday night. The other Tana says that you cannot be boel b'tchila on Friday night because it's Friday night. And because of that, you're not patur mi Kriyat Shema. You're chayav in Kriyat Shema because there's no tirda shel mitzvah. Right, so now the Gemara continues and says, Abaye. Well, how's Abaye going to explain that machloket? Abaye over here says that you're patur all the way through because he's kareid that he was not boel. And that means even on Friday night, if you're not allowed to do biyah, you still are patur because you have the tirda that he has yet to do biyah. So Gemara says, atam nami b'tirda plige. They argue about tirda. Their machloket is exactly this. What type of tirda is poter? Is tirda looking backwards enough? I mean, the fact that I haven't been boel, is that enough for the tirda to make me patur? Or do I need tirda that I am going to do the biyah? And that's what's poter me. If it's the tirda of doing the biyah, then you're right, on Friday night, I'm not patur. If it's the tirda of the low bayo, then I am even patur on Friday night, even though I can't do the biyah. So that's the way that Abaye will explain the machloket. Bahane tanae, and that machloket tanaim is kehane tanae. It's similar to this machloket tanaim. I mean, the way that Rova explained the machloket tanaim over here, that the machloket is whether you can be boel b'tchila on Friday night or not. That's the way Rova explained it. And that's similar to this machloket tanaim, which we have here, the Tanya koneset ptula lo yivol b'tchila b'Shabbat. The person that marries a ptula should not have biyah in the first place on Shabbat. V'chamim matirim. The chamim say it's totally fine. So now when we say these Tanaim are like those Tanaim, I mean the way that Rova explained the machloket Tanaim over here, that the machloket is whether you can be boel b'tchila on Friday night or not, then that's similar to this machloket Tanaim, which is that the Tanakama says you're not allowed to have biyah b'tchila on Friday night. The chachamim say that you're allowed to do biyah b'tchila on Friday night. So then the Gemara wants to know, man chachamim. Who are the chachamim over here that say that it's mutar lachatchila on Friday night? Who is the author of this position? Rabbi Shimoni. Davar sheinu mitkaven mutar. Because he says that davar sheinu mitkaven is mutar, and therefore it's totally fine here. Amalei Abaye, v'amodei Rabbi Shimon psikreishe v'lo yomut. So Abaye challenges that and says, what are you talking about? That's a case of psikreishe. So even if Rabbi Shimon believes that davar sheinu mitkaven, it's still psikreishe. And you should be chayav even according to Rabbi Shimon. Amalei, lo kahalulu bavliim shein bikim b'ataya. No, not like you Babylonians that don't know how to do ataya. Ela yesh bikim b'ataya. There are these people that are bikim in hataya. Hataya is the ability to be boel a woman without removing her betulim. So there is a possibility of being boel a woman and not removing her betulim. Therefore, on Friday night, you can go ahead, have biyah, because this person is not intending to remove the bitulim. He's going to do it in a way that doesn't remove the bitulim. Says, you Babylonians don't know how to do this. But everybody else can have biyah without removing the bitulim. Therefore, there's no longer a psikreshe over here. Imkain toreid lama. So then, why is he toreid? If he's such a baki, then why is he toreid about having biyah with this woman? Lashenu baki. For guys who are not bakiim in this, therefore they are toreid. He says, Yomru baki mutar, sheinu baki asur. If that's the case, then a baki should be mutar to be boel b'tchila on Friday night. And an eino baki should be asur, because, first of all, he's toreid and he's poter mikriyat shema. But in addition to that, he doesn't know how to do this without having a psikreshe. Tosva notes that on the other nights, there is tirdaim for the bikiim, because there they're going to do a biyag mura. By biyag mura, everybody is tarud. By hataya, if they're bikiim and hataya, then, why are they tarud on the Friday night? That's our question here. That's why the question is only about the atayah, only about the Friday night, is because over there, there's no reason for them to be tarud. They're bikiim, and there's no reason for them to worry about it. Rov bikiim heim. No, the majority of people are bikiim. They don't know this. People don't know whether they're a baki or not, but rov people can do this without having a problem. Since rov people can do that, if we have a safek about every individual, we're going to assume he's part of the rov. Since we assume he's part of the rov, it's not a psikreshe anymore for him. And then as Rashi notes over here, even though people are bikiim, since they don't really know if they're a baki, therefore they're still tarud. They're tarud because they don't know if they really are a baki. They're going to find out whether they're a baki or not, but they don't know yet if they're a baki, and therefore they are tarud. Tosfot over here points out that Shmuel is able to do hataya. The Gemara says in Nidan, in Chagiga, that Shmuel is able to do hataya, and Therefore, the Gemara asks, if a woman became pregnant and she's still a betulah, how did she become pregnant? So they say, did she do hatayah kishmuel? And therefore, she was impregnated even though there's still betulim. Or she went to an ambatia, she went to a bathhouse in which there was zera still floating around, she became impregnated from that. The Gemara says that Shmuel is one in a million, that he can do it. Tosfot says, what do you mean one in a million? Over here, the Gemara says, Rov Begimein Batayah. So the Tosfot here distinguishes or delineates between them and says, Shmuel knew how to do Biyah Gmura Behatayah. He knew how to do a full Biyah that would impregnate and still would not affect the Dam Betulim. Everybody else over here knows how to do Hatayah, which means they could do a Biyah that did not affect the Dam Betulim, but it was not a Biyah Gmura that would result in a pregnancy or impregnate the woman. And that's how Tosfot distinguishes between those two aspects. But you do see here, and this is very important, there is a machloket about how you determine when something is psikresha or not. So over here, the Gemara uses rov as a determination, but it doesn't mean rov by every case, but it means that generally rov people are bikiim, therefore we can assume that everybody is a baki. But in general, when I have to look at percentages, if I can do an action that 80% of the time is a psikresha and 20% of the time it's not a psikresha, does that already count not as a psikresha? Where do you cut the line? Right, and that is a big machloket in the Rishonim that has nafkaminot in psikreshe as to where you cut the line about being something that's automatic or a derivative or something that is possible or not possible. Does it have to be 50-50? Does it have to be rove that it won't happen that way? Or could it even be that rove it does happen there, just a small minority, a 5% chance is enough to determine that you're not considered to be a psikreshe. Maybe a psikreshe means 100%. As long as it's not 100%, it's not psikreshe. So in Tshuva, the Shuta Rivash, he asks about brushing hair on Shabbat. Can one comb their hair or brush their hair on Shabbat? There's a high likelihood when you brush your hair on Shabbat that you're going to be meisir seyar, right? That there's a possibility that they are taking out, you will remove a hair. Removing hair on Shabbat is problematic. It's not a psik reshe. It's not 100% certain that you're going to take it out. It's 90% certain. So is that psik reshe or not? So over there he says that that's enough to be considered psik reshe. You have to have a likely probability. Now whatever that means, a likely probability that it won't happen. So it can't be that you're 90, 95% chance that's going to happen. That's not a likely probability that it won't happen. Because Rashi in the Gemara in Zvachim talks about how you're allowed to sprinkle dam on Mizbeach because it's mechabe the coals. The Rashi over there says it's a possibility you could do it without being mechabe the coals. What's the chance you do it without being mechabe the coals? That's the question. Is it really such a high probability? Is it a very low probability? Many of the other Rishonim disagree and say it's not a psikreshe for a different reason. But according to Rashi, who seems to indicate that even if there's a small probability that you could do it the other way, even if you do it in the way that ends up being the way that's mechabe, it's not a problem. So over there, it sounds like you don't need a high probability. But here, they say that you have to have some likelihood or decent likelihood that it won't happen. Otherwise, it's psikreshe. If it's 90, 95%, you can't claim that it's not psikreshe. It's not 100% anymore. Again, there are those that disagree with that. All right, so now, Amalei Rova by Rav Chanan Labai, Elimi Ata Shushbinin Lama, Mapa Lama. Over here, why do you need the best men or the people that accompany him, as well as Mapa, the sheet that you put down for the Dam Betulim? If you're telling me that everybody wrote Bikim Bahatayah, they're not going to see any Dam, why bother to have a Shushbinim? Why bother to have a sheet there for the Dam Betulim? There isn't going to be any Dam Betulim. So Bai says, Shema Yireh, because there might be some Dam Betulim, even though it's not like it might happen. And then be obeyed, and then it'll be lost. I mean that we're worried about the fact that it might actually happen and be lost afterwards because it's not like there will be dam, but if there is dam, we want to make sure that we capture that and we know that. So Rashi over here says the question is about any night. Why do we need this at all? Why do you need a mapa? Why do you need shushpinin? So Rashi says the answer of the Gemara is shemelo yateh, because maybe he won't do atayah, v'yotzi dam, v'yavdeno, and there will be dam and it'll get lost. Dilu ba'atayah, if he did it ba'atayah, imbal it'on, becomes a claim she's not a betulah, tolomar, and I'm betulani. She can make the claim that I'm still a betulah. She'll know that it was hatayah, and I'm still a betulah. So she'll be protected. So Tosfot quotes this Roshan Rashi and says that the Re doesn't like that explanation because ikar chaser min sefer. Because ikar part of the answer is the fact that she can make a claim by hatayah that she knows that she's still a betulah, and that's not mentioned in the Gemara at all. And therefore, the Re says he thinks Rabbeinu Tam is right that this question is only regarding Shabbat. Why do we have a mapa, or why do we have shushpinin by Friday night, when we know he's going to do biyah through hatayah? Since he's going to do biyah through hatayah, there's no reason to have all this extra stuff. The answer is, because maybe he'll make a mistake, maybe he won't be part of those rov, and he will end up releasing the bitulim on a Friday night.
But in any other night, there's no reason for him to do Hataya, because he'll do a Bi'ah Gemura. There's no reason not to do a Bi'ah Gemura. And for that reason, we have the Shushbinin, and that's why we have the Mappa on those other nights, because there's all likelihood it's going to be Dam Betulim. So in those cases, we want to make sure we capture it. So that's why we have the Mappa, we have the sheet, so that they have evidence of the fact that she had Dam Betulim. And we have the Shushbinim, that make sure that they capture it, and that the person can't lie about the fact that there wasn't Dam on the sheet. Meitiv Rabbi Ami, Hamapis Mursa B'Shabbat. Someone who squeezes out pus on Shabbat. Person has some sort of infection, and the infection is sealed. There's a pus or white stuff inside of the enclosure. It's causing him a lot of pain. He's in pain from it. So he wants to open it up to release the pus so it doesn't cause him pain anymore. Mapis mursav Shabbat im lasoda pechayav. If you're trying to make a mouth, an opening, then it's chayav. As Rashi says over here, you can have a peh, you can have a opening on a bal chayim. And therefore, if you're trying to make a peh, which is you're releasing the liquid, but you want the air to get in there also, then it's bidirectional. It's bidirectional, that's called a petach, and it's a sur. If you simply, only thing you want is to remove the liquid, the pus that's in there, patur, and the Gemara in Shabbat tells us that this patur is mutar mishum tzara. Because of tzara, this is not patur of a sur, but mutar the gamrei to do it, because of tzara. Over here, why don't you say the same thing? By the dam betulim, why don't we say over here that you can release it? Okay, here there's no tzar, but there's a makom mitzvah. Since it's a makom mitzvah, then you should be able to overcome the problem because of makom mitzvah. So here you don't intend for a petach, you just want to release the dam. So it's not a real petach. And therefore, why don't we just say over here that it should be mutar because of makom mitzvah. In addition, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, who before says that makom mitzvah is not as good as tzar, so over here makom mitzvah wouldn't be mat to you. Over here you could argue also that there's an additional aspect that's not a psik reshe because of the hataya. It's not a psik reshe. If it's not a psik reshe, then we should allow him to do it, because even if he does it, it's a petach, it's not a psik reshe, and therefore it should be allowed. So hatam pokid v'akir, hacha pokid v'lo akir. There's a difference between mapis mursa, where the pus or whatever's in there is encapsulated and totally already removed from the body. It's released already, it's just sitting in there. So as soon as you open it up, all the liquid's going to go out. On the other hand, by the dam bitulim, it's not exactly like that. Even if you say it's mifkad pokid, lo akir, it's still not completely floating around there. It's not just liquid sloshing around over there. By the mapis mursa, it's liquid that's sloshing around, just needs to be released. On the other hand, by dam bitulim, even if you say it's dam mifkad pokid, that you don't have to create a wound to release it, it's still attached or connected to the lining of the vaginal canal, and therefore when it is released, there's still more than simply opening up a petach, there's still more to it, it's lo akir. And therefore you're creating an akira that goes along with it, and therefore there's an aspect of chabura, even in the case of dam mifrad pokid. It's not totally inside the body like other blood. Nevertheless, the kenos miu dom el mechubar, hu she'enu mubchan letzeit kalecha. It's not free, totally free. It's not like real dam, but it's not totally released like the pus. And therefore here, it's going to be a little different, and we're not going to be matir it, like we did by mapis mursa. Over here, we're not going to be matir the gamre, and therefore we're going to differentiate between the case of mapis mursa, where we say it's mutar the gamre, but by the case of the mifkad pokid, we had the possibility that it should be asur if he makes a petach, because that petach is different than the petach by the mapis mursa. By mapis mursa, the petach makes it, so it releases the dam. Over here, the petach releases the dam, but also causes the dam to come out. And so there's this additional aspect, which is problematic by the case of the dam bitulim. And here, on the stop of Zayin Amud Aleph.